Welcome to today's business segment. I'm Justicia and I'll be taking you until the hour of 2:30. We are looking at business news right here on Eagle FM. Now, the Capricorn Foundation Food Waste Challenge was launched in July 2022 and called for innovation and sustainable solutions for the public on reducing food waste in Namibia and promoting food security. Now, this week, the Capricorn Foundation announced Sarah Ekando from Aquana Foods based in Oshakati as the 2022 Capricorn Foundation Food Waste Challenge overall winner and receives a 100,000 Namibian dollars in cash. Now, the 2022 food challenge is regarded as a huge success with a total of 101 submissions under the categories of collection, distribution and storage of food and food products submitted on the closing date, that is the 12th of August 2022. Of the 101 submissions, individual entries made up 70% and the remaining 30% compromised of teams and business submissions. Submissions were made from South Africa, Botswana, Kenya, India, Portugal, and submissions from Namibia came from all over Namibia, from North Uber to Katima Mulilo. The submissions were taken through an extensive internal judging process and were scored against a set criteria and then taken through an internal judging panel representing various sectors of the economy to vote for the top 10 submissions and the winning solution. Now, the winning solution, which winner got, that is Sarah Ekando from Aquana Foods in Oshakati, was announced, as I mentioned, the overall winner. Her idea was lengthening the shelf life of produce and reducing the waste through value addition and preservation. Now, Aquana Foods is a local business operating in Oshakati, and its solution stems of sourcing excess and B-grade produce from farmers to convert them into different products with the aim of prolonging shelf life while still retaining their nutritional value by making products such as chutney and concentrated syrup. Now, the solution to reduce food waste in Namibia, the Capricorn Foundation says that it remains committed to be a connector of positive change, and the Food Waste Challenge has shown that what the foundation means, and by that phase, by providing a platform for the public to share their innovative ideas that can bring about positive change. Now, according to the United Nations Environmental Program, consumer food waste remains a global challenge, and an estimated 17% of the total global food production is wasted, 11% in household, 12% in food service sectors, and 2% in retail. Now, an audit report conducted by the city of Windhoek between 16 and 20 November 2020 found that a total of 19 tons of waste were recorded, with organic food products, leftovers and organic garden refuse making up the biggest proportion of the waste category recorded, with 16% and 13% respectfully. And that is what we are getting from the announcement of the waste challenge and winning solution. They have now crowned a winner. She hails from Oshakati. That is Sarah Ekando. It is exactly 7 minutes past the hour of two. You are listening to the business segment on the Midday News Bulletin. Now, the investment board has launched the bridge portal. Let's just get into that report. The Namibia Investment Promotion and Development Board last night launched the Innovation Bridge Portal, IBP. According to NIPDB, the World Bank is supporting the development of Namibia's entrepreneurship ecosystem together with the Investment Board and Basecamp Namibia. Now, speaking at the event is the lead private sector development specialist from World Bank, that is Ganesh Rashkam.
I wanted to share a few thoughts on the Innovation Bridge portal, and then I'm going to hand over to my colleague Grace Lehodi, who's going to take you through the details of what he's trying to achieve. So I think the first point to make is, why are we interested in this topic of supporting entrepreneurship? And across the five countries that I cover from the World Bank office in Pretoria, The number one challenge today is youth unemployment and creating jobs for youth entering the workforce. And if you look at the labor market statistics, the capacity of the public sector to create public sector jobs is reached its limits. So new jobs have to come from the private sector. And so where in the private sector will these jobs come from? In the emerging sectors, digital transformation, in green businesses, in the new industries that are emerging. And so innovation and entrepreneurship will be the drivers of the new growth and the new jobs in the private sector. And who are the people who are going to create these jobs? It's you. It's the young people in this room. So the idea is, how can we provide support to entrepreneurs in a more structured, coordinated, and integrated manner, where entrepreneurs feel that they can get the right kind of support from the right organization at the right time in their business cycle. And that was sort of the drive behind this project. And, you know, South Africa is a very rich ecosystem for entrepreneurship, as many of you know, and so does Namibia. It's a growing ecosystem, so does Botswana. But we thought there are opportunities to learn from each other, to strengthen the collaboration across the ecosystem of the five countries, so that any entrepreneur, say in Namibia today, can access the resources that are available in South Africa, whether it's business support services, whether it's coaching, mentoring, or access to finance, you know, through angel networks or early stage VCs. So that was sort of the inspiration behind this, and I'm happy to say that it took us about maybe a year, but I'm happy to say that on the 17th of May, we formally launched this portal in South Africa with participation and representation from all five countries. So this is a regional initiative supported by the World Bank. We have excellent support from all five countries, both in the public and private sector. And most importantly, we've had overwhelming support from the entrepreneurs themselves. And so my final thing is the community part of it that's important. We're building a community of entrepreneurs on this platform, which means that this is your platform. This is not the government's platform. It's not the World Bank's platform. It's a platform that is owned and we hope will be driven by the entrepreneurs themselves. So we want to be engaged with you. It's not just about providing services, but getting feedback, getting your ideas and your inputs on how to make this platform or the community work for all the ecosystem actors across the five countries. Ambitious, but I think initial signs of success are very positive. One of the signs of success is that we want other countries want to join this program now. We have interest from neighboring countries. There's interest from the SADC, Southern African Development Community. But we want to succeed with the five countries before we expand. So ambition is good, but we want to deliver value. We want to deliver results and impact. And so, do you know, 5,000, 50,000, 500,000, that's where we want to go.
Now, speaking on the outline of the Innovation Bridge portal is Grace Lohoti, who's the consultant of the World Bank.
It's a digital community for entrepreneurs, innovators, support service providers, as well as your innovators, and covering all the five Southern Africa countries in Africa. And so when we, you know, came as a unit, and I think this is where Ganesh sort of alluded to, and they were also very purposeful of ensuring that it is done by youth and by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs, sort of first and foremost, is that we seek to enable collaboration, access to finance, markets, and support services for entrepreneurs and innovators. So I won't go into all the words there, but I think the key takeaway that you must just take out of this is it's a non-profit, and we really are just trying to be that pinnacle where we can bring the ecosystem together, knowing that no country is an island, and we should really leverage each other's competitive advantage as entrepreneurs in the various five countries in terms of market access, getting exposed to investors that have appetites for the whole Southern Africa and not operate in a bubble. And all of this is, and ensuring that government is at the forefront of it, is that it can help us better make better informed sort of policy reforms. Our target market. So when you think about our target markets, really the biggest focus here is the three circles that are in the red triangle. So ideation, startup, as well as your scale-ups. Why is that important? I think it's safe to say a lot of us can relate that there's been a lot of, international interest on the African continent in sort of the last 5 years in your sort of early growth maturity phase, the likes of your Yokos, your Kobo 360s, your Flutter Waves, etc. But what we're finding is that there is really not enough support that is going to the early stage and underserved communities to get to that early growth and growth maturity. It's the minority that have maybe gone to Harvard or Stanford and, been able to leverage sort of the network. And so by focusing on ideation, startup, and scale up, what do we mean by that? So ideation is really grassroots, even maybe partnering with your universities where they, have the, best, innovations or ideas, but they don't know how to commercialize them, and being able to connect them with business-minded people to get that idea and commercialize it into a business. Startup, you have your business idea, and you just need help getting that first customer or a few, and basically get on your way. Or a scale up, you've proven that the product works, that there's product market fit, and you just need help scaling. And not just in Namibia, but perhaps to South Africa, to Botswana, to Lesotho.
Sondaha Nuyuni shares her experience with the portal. She owns a Sondi Nuyuni sales and marketing agency, CC.
So there are quite a number of local producers that we are in touch with that are doing so amazing. And we really feel the need. The people need to know what Namibia is doing. We are planning to expand to international countries like Border, South Africa, Cameroon. All these countries are of our interest. We are trying to promote also through our marketing, our tourism and educational sector. Now, I came across Innovation Bridge Portal, very funny. I was thinking, I need to grow this business. It needs to grow. It was actually last year. The business was launched in November. December, I decided, I think I must start approaching companies myself because then people won't come to me. People don't know I exist. So I went to Startup NAM. It was just, I didn't know where the building is. I think I Googled it that day. So I showed up at Startup NAM. I asked, do you guys have anything for SMEs, that any programs, any mentorship? I personally didn't want money. I just need, give me the knowledge, then I see what to do with the knowledge. So I went and the reception lady told me, no, we actually have something with the World Bank that is due. I think it was just 3 days after before, the 3 days before it actually due. I decided to sign up. And when I saw that I actually got in, I was part of the 100, I was so excited, and I got on. The platform is extremely great. It is amazing. I'm not someone that likes reading too much. I started a company through freestyling. I didn't really know the basics of sales, the basics of marketing. All I know is I'm good at it. With a book or without a book, I'm good at it. So I've learned sales, how to run my sales effectively, my marketing, because I didn't go by the book. It's just, but through the quizzes, I would take the quizzes in a taxi. Driving to work, my life is very busy. On my way to work, I'm taking a quiz. I'm doing a course. I should be doing something. I didn't know anything about operations. I learned how to salaries for my employees, how to do them, how I went to check what and what. I learned all that from there. It's a very, very interesting platform. It is a very creative. It's very, very creative, I should say. And by the end of it, I got an email that I have a one-on-one session. Now, the session is quite insightful. If you have never actually even received one, you are going to love it. My mentor was Mr. Cameron Burt, if I say that right. So he is an amazing, amazing man. So now, he taught me how to pitch in 5 minutes. I still struggle with it, but then he taught me how to close that deal in 5 minutes. And I would be sent back and forth. This is not right. Go back. Start again. Go back. You don't have a clear business model. What are you doing? Go back. Today, I have a clear vision and a clear business structure and model for my business. And I am so, so, so grateful.
And that is what we are getting from the launch of the Innovation Bridge portal. 2 minutes to the hour of 2:20, you are listening to the business segment. Stay tuned. We are going to the marketplace and we'll be right back.
Oyo mnangeshefa nohara kushivifa oma kuroye kupitira muhoriki radio station ayo Eagle FM. Enyamukuru olongaha. Ningi kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosho ipindi konorahe tatu imwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mwamberewa konorahe tatu natu, mbali o hetatu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Nenge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo umone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Now, Fly Namibia introduced flights from Eros Airport in Windhoek to Wolfish Bay as its additional domestic route. This is set to start on 28 October 2022. Now, Wolfish Bay is the first new addition to Fly Namibia's scheduled operation since the announcement of its new partnership with Air Link in September 2022. Now, the partnership, just to look back at it, is aimed at giving the flying public more options, more access, and broader horizons to discover and explore, and set to further increase the Fly Namibia's operational capacity. Now, speaking at the event is the CEO of Namibia Airports Company, that is Basie Wirap, who says that this heralds a new phase where we are connecting the hearts of business in our country. Now, Wolfish Bay Mayor Trevenor Forbes said that it is an opportunity to recognize and commend the efforts of Fly Namibia to renew this route. In the past, this route has served as a key enabler for economic and tourism growth and development. And Fly Namibia, with this new direct flight to Wolfish Bay and its combined regional network and scheduled, will unlock efficiencies for Namibia's business and trade as well as travel sectors, he said. And that is what we are getting right there. Now, Namibia Wildlife Resort, to get into that, we do have a report for you regarding Namibia Wildlife Resort, that is the NWR. Let's just get into that report. Now, the Namibia Wildlife Resort, that is NWR, has announced that its footage for the Okakweo waterhole is now live streaming on DSTV on the Wild Earth channel, that is channel 103. We do have the spokesperson of NWR, Nelson Ashipala, on the line. Good afternoon, Nelson. How are you?
Good afternoon, Justicia. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm good. Now, with this step that NWR has taken, just to take us through, what does this mean for the NWR organization?
I think, Justicia, more than anything else, I think it's what it means for Namibia. When we were hit by COVID, basically, when the whole world was hit by COVID, a few cases of nostalgia were coming out. You know, people who could not travel, people who love traveling, people who were remembering the water holes and all those things, all the experiences that they had in Etosha. Mm-hmm. I think something like this that presents itself is something very positive for Namibia, I think, and also for the rest of the world, because knowing that DSTV is watched across Africa, and the YouTube channel that is for Namibia Wildlife Resorts being able to transmit from around the world, it just means that somebody can just view game in the middle or at home in the comfort of their homes in the office. I know usually I like to view this camera in the comfort of my office. I don't have to travel to Etosha anymore to experience this. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a game changer, and we are just glad that something like this could come out positively, and that the whole world will basically be able to watch Namibia's flora and fauna from the comfort of wherever they are.
Right. Now you are mentioning that you can just watch from the comfort of your home. Now with this announcement, won't it hinder with those that want to or those that come to visit the waterhole? Won't it lessen the numbers of the people that come and visit the Okakweo waterhole, seeing that they would have this mindset that I can just watch it on DSTV?
I don't think so. In fact, it will be, I think more than anything, it will be enticing. Imagine having to view game, you know, having to view wildlife at the waterhole. Eventually, you would want to see it. I mean, it's almost just like how we've all seen the Eiffel Tower. And if it wasn't for TV and print journalism, we obviously wouldn't have wanted to have seen the Eiffel Tower. Because what happens is, once you experience something that isn't live, you would want to see it live when the opportunity presents itself.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we are viewing this as a marketing tool for the Etosha National Park and a marketing tool for Namibia. So Namibians can now, or people from the diaspora, individuals that have an interest in tourism from around the world can now come to Namibia to come and view wildlife because of the fact that they've seen it on TV and they're able to, and it's able to be transmitted. Mm-hmm. Also, I think something that's also very, that we found to be very, very interesting here is this, Justicia. One would find that what happens is, for the wild animals that usually visit this waterhole, people have given them names. You know, perhaps a huge elephant is called Baliki and all these finer things.
Mm-hmm.
So when the narration comes out and they say, oh, Baliki is not a waterhole, you would obviously be enticed to say, maybe I must go and see Baliki and how he looks and all these things.
Mm-hmm.
So I think... no doubt about it, it's a very, very strong marketing initiative that we know will sell very well if done correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, with this live view, maybe just to take us through, how long does it run on the channel? Will it be 30 minutes? How long will it run on that Wild Earth channel?
Yes. In fact, transmissions will be around 30 minutes,
mm-hmm.
Where there will also be live commentary. So it switches on between those times that we now have at sunrise and sunset.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't have the time to speak, but I think the sunrise is between 6 and 9. So the camera transmits over to the Okakweo waterhole. Just to highlight that what we have is different cameras. You know, there are cameras that are in the Kruger National Park. There are cameras that are basically everywhere around the world, but still speaking on tourism or still speaking on wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
So for Namibia now, our camera is now the one that's at Okakweo. So when it transmits over, there will now be very good narrations of what the animals are doing, which type of animal came to this waterhole, and what is being experienced. So I think the most important thing for us Namibians right now is just to acquaint ourselves with these time slots, where we know that at least when it's sunrise, at 6 in the morning, I will know that I need to view or I need to switch on to this camera or to this channel for me to watch the live updates. But if we want constant feed where one can now view the live waterhole around that time,
mm-hmm.
we ask that you may perhaps log on to our YouTube channel that is for Namibia Wildlife Resorts. Log on. It's a 24-hour uninterrupted feed. But basically there's no narration, maybe just chatting here and there,
mm-hmm.
but it's also something very, very interesting. So if you want something undisturbed, one can always log on to our YouTube channel.
All right. Nelson, with this development, does NWR plan to branch out to other waterholes when it comes to the live streaming of these waterholes?
I think it's something which we wouldn't mind moving into. But at the moment, I know that we've had a few discussions here and there on trying to expand to other waterholes.
Mm-hmm.
But for every person that is a fan of the Etosha National Park and a fan of wildlife, they will tell you that the best waterhole in Namibia is the Okakweo waterhole. So, you know, for other waterholes, it's a very risky incident because you might not see animals there. You might see animals. That's number one. Number two, we should also take into consideration the fact that there might not be network around the park. Remembering that this camera is transmitted or it's transmitting having to use Wi-Fi. You know, electricity in Etosha National Park is not the most stable. And even if we say we use solar panels, which is something we're also looking at installing, we aren't sure whether, you know, it's not going to rainy season. So, you know, cloud covers do hamper solar energy and all these things. So the good thing about the Okakwe waterhole is that it's a plug and play. So basically connected to the electricity of the camp, and then it plays immediately onto the transmission. So if at the right time comes that we have proper network within the park, I don't see how this could really be a problem for us to expand further.
How many animals and what type of animals are this live view is going to capture?
Okay. For this live view, you know, like I told you, I'm an enthusiast. Just 2 hours ago, I saw a huge herd of elephants at this waterhole. You know, we've had views of lions. Last week, there was a lion kill happening at the waterhole. It happened live in front of me, you know, having to watch this from the comfort of my office. So it's across the board, all of the animals that are found within the parks. So the good thing is, you know, log on, spot one. And for those of us who say we haven't seen elephants in real life, perhaps this is the closest that one will ever come to seeing an elephant. So it's all of the animals that are found, you know, all the big five, and usual small ones, your dig-digs and your zebra, the common ones. All of them, you can spot them within the park, or you can spot them on this camera. So it's unhindered, untouched. We don't drive the animals to the waterhole. So they come themselves, you know, they spot or they do the spotting themselves. So they come, they drink. If there's going to be a kill, there's going to be a kill. So I think that's what makes it exciting. It's untouched. The only thing that we perhaps try to ask our guests, mostly on those that would perhaps visit the waterhole, is to respect the silence that comes from this area, because we do have microphones that are transmitting. You know, we have a huge signboard that requests for silence, or pure silence from it. So if our guests can just respect this, because we're able to pick out sound from the waterhole. Other than that, one can spot basically every other single animal available.
All right. Thank you so much, Nelson, for speaking to Eagle FM.
You're welcome, Justicia. Have a good afternoon.
Likewise. And this marks the end of our business segment for today. I'll now cross over to my colleagues in the Ondangwa studio, who will take you through the Oshiwambo news. But for me here in studio, it's a goodbye. We'll see you again tomorrow, same time, same place.